claims of inappropriate treatment of women are again rocking the world of politics and entertainment. Yesterday, the Australian actress Yael Stone has made a number of allegations of inappropriate behaviour about Oscar winner Geoffrey Rush in an interview with 7:30.
What began as playful, and I believe was sent in the spirit of playfulness, ultimately made me uncomfortable. I didn't know how to stop the texts, even to the point of not replying. I didn't know how to not reply to somebody who was so much my senior, who has so much power in the industry.
That's Australian actress Yael Stone speaking on 7:30. Geoffrey Rush says the allegations are incorrect and in some instances taken completely out of context. Meanwhile, it has also emerged a Nationals staffer in Parliament sent an expletive-laden text message to the journalist Annika Smethurst. The Human Rights Commission says that roughly 40% of Australian women have been sexually harassed at work in the past 5 years, but that fewer than one in five have made a formal report or complaint. Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins is conducting a national inquiry into sexual harassment in Australian workplaces. She's my guest this morning. Welcome to Breakfast, Kate Jenkins.
Good morning, Hamish.
Let's start with your harassment inquiry. You're announcing today that you are extending the deadline for people to make submissions until February next year. Why?
A couple of reasons. One is we're keen to hear from more people. I've heard from a lot of people who've experienced sexual harassment. I haven't heard from as many men as I would like to, and I haven't been able to hear at all from people who've entered confidential settlements. So today we are posting on our website the names of a range of employers who have said they will waive that confidentiality obligation to enable people to contribute to our inquiry. So that's a really important. It's a small group, but we know 17% of people who are sexually harassed make complaints. And I haven't really been able to talk to anyone who's gone right through the process and reached a settlement. So it really lets me hear that experience.
And is it your hope that more businesses might come on board and lift those non-disclosure agreements, as it were?
Absolutely. And it's only for the purposes of the inquiry. And I'm not asking to know details of names, or it's not a name and shame exercise. But yes, so we've put this call out because we realised we weren't able to talk to these people. But we know lots of employers are considering. There are, of course, lawyers are involved, and I'm a lawyer, so I can't be too mean about them, but they're really seriously considering it. So we expect more will sign up over coming weeks. But at the moment, if you're thinking you've got a settlement, you can go onto our website and have a look whether your employer has signed up. And if that's the case, then you can confidentially make a submission.
You told us last month that non-disclosure agreements can make harassment invisible and silence the victims. Is this actually part of the problem?
I think it is interesting. I think this invisibility of sexual harassment is actually one of the factors behind why we seem to be having increased sexual harassment. So of its nature, sexual harassment does often occur when there are no witnesses around and when people, you know, are in taxis and in private places. People who bring complaints forward, even if they haven't signed an agreement, are told to keep it confidential. And then when you reach a settlement, it's confidential and no one knows about it. So a lot of the Me Too conversation is actually starting to surface. Actually, this is really common, even if you can't see it or you don't know about it.
Obviously, many of us will have watched the interview overnight with Orange Is the New Black star Yael Stone. She's made these explosive allegations about the actor Geoffrey Rush, alleging that he danced naked, sent her text messages late at night, attempted to spy on her while she was showering. She told 7:30 that she, quote, didn't know how to respond to someone who was so much my senior, who has so much power in the industry. Now, obviously, need to point out that Geoffrey Rush says the allegations are incorrect and that in some instances they're taken completely out of context. Besides this case, does this go to the heart of the sexual harassment problem, that women still simply don't feel able to come forward without risking losing everything?
Yes, and I can't make a comment on that particular scenario, but when I think about the conversations I've had across the country, and I'll just add to your numbers, 26% of men say they've been harassed as well. What people do regularly say is, I'm too scared to bring a complaint up. In an industry like media, you know, it's a small industry in a small town, in, you know, if you want to be a doctor, we've got lots of industries that are quite small, and you're not prepared to run the risk that you'll never be able to work in that industry again. So we hear consistently that people who are not in the most powerful position, who are being harassed, say either I tried to complain and everyone just said, get over it, you've been too sensitive, or I was too scared to complain because I couldn't risk everything. That's been a pretty consistent message. And there's no question that our legal system can improve, but also culturally, I think the call out is to say, could we be more empathetic and get a better way for people who are working together to just say, hey, that's not great. Could you stop doing that? There's a lot of defensiveness rather than openness to change. So I think there are some really common themes across the country of people saying, I don't want to complain. In fact, we're complaining less. Our stats tell us only 17% complain. And in 2003, it was 32% who'd been harassed. So it tells us that actually less people want to complain, but they do want it to stop, and we need to look at ways that that can happen.
We should note as well that Geoffrey Rush said in response to that interview, I sincerely and deeply regret if I've caused any distress. This most certainly has never been my intention. I think what was notable was the level of nuance in that conversation. Do you think that as a society, in having this broader conversation, we have at times lacked the nuance that was presented in that account last night?
I do think the current conversation, it will be for the better in the long term, is that this isn't about kind of villains and victims. It's actually about a general culture that at the moment says, we think this, you know, sexual harassment's kind of okay. A couple of weeks ago, the Community Attitude Survey told us that, you know, half of us think women you just misinterpret what's going on. One in four think women really find it flattering to be persistently pursued even if they don't want it. I think some of our attitudes have just dismissed sexual harassment as just something that, you know, is not a big deal. And I think the current conversation is saying, actually, it's more common than you think. It's more harmful than you think. And you know what? We can change. We've changed lots of things. We can just lift the tone just a little bit. And that's what I think we're at that moment where I am really positive that we can do that. But we do need empathy as well as better systems to deal with it.
In Australian politics this week, it's been revealed that a Nationals staffer sent an expletive-laden text message to the female journalist Annika Smethurst. The staffer from the office of Queensland Nationals Senator Barry O'Sullivan has been placed on indefinite leave. But in what sort of workplace would you be able to do that kind of thing and not lose your job?
Look, I don't know the circumstances of that case. I know that as I talk about sexual harassment across the country, there is lots of inappropriate things that happen that go unresponded to.
But I suppose the question is something different happening in our parliament that wouldn't be acceptable in the rest of the country?
I think lots of people are saying that. Lots of people are saying the behaviours in, you know, when I read them in the paper, that wouldn't happen in my workplace. I guess my extra layer is saying, yeah, but I'm talking to people where lots of things are happening. It's in that invisible camp, and that really shouldn't be happening there either. So I think it's an end. I think that that as I've done the consultations across the country, people have quite regularly said we want to see our parliaments and our governments behaving better just as a role model for where we should go. And people have said they're disappointed with what they're reading in the papers.
Kate Jenkins, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Hamish.
Kate Jenkins is the Sex Discrimination Commissioner.